Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton. Hey guys, welcome back to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. We are here with a special surprise midweek episode. You guys wanted content before the NFL draft, and we are bringing it to you. We brought you the AHA Productions earlier in the week, but who would be better to bring in for the draft than the draft guru himself, here to bring a mock draft for you today? There is no one better on Instagram than the draft guru. I bring in every single piece of draft content you need. He does player profiles. He has a big couple big board rankings out. He's done mock drafts. He's a must follow around draft time and all year long. And here he is, draft guru. How you doing, man?
I am great, Dave. I have no idea how you're able to set this up because I'm such a big deal and all. But I'm glad to be on the show, man. And again, thanks for having me.
Yep. So let's just get into it. We are doing a mock draft today. I'm David. Thomas and Colton could not join today, unfortunately. Mostly just because I didn't want them, because I wanted to have all the conversations and all the picks myself. They asked if they could join. I told them it starts in an hour, and I just hopped on without them. That's what happened. So this is how it's going to work. You are going to take all of the odd picks. I'm going to take all the even picks, right? That's not messing that up?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, and so that's just what we're doing. We're doing no trades. We're doing a predictive on what we think is going to happen, and that kicks it off to you. The number one pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You might as well just skip my pick. I think we all know this pick. It's going to be Zach Wilson from BYU. No, it's obviously going to be Trevor Lawrence. I mean, the fans in Jacksonville already donated, what, $30,000 to him a year. So it's Trevor Lawrence. And there's a reason why everybody picked this job. It's easily going to be Trevor Lawrence. No explanation needed.
Yeah. We can just skip right along there. We really didn't. Did you hear? There's not even. You can't even bet on the pick.
No, I mean,
it's not available in the sports books.
If I could bet on the picks, I mean, I'd make so much money. I'd bet my life savings on it.
Yeah.
So I get
and
it.
And make 50 cents because that's the best odds you would have ever found.
Exactly. I mean, the best quarterback to come out since, what, Andrew Luck? I mean, again, it's a no brainer pick. No one can mess this up.
Yep. Now, we got the New York Football Jets. If this was what I would do, this pick would not be happening. But we are going to go Zach Wilson, BYU. Talented quarterback, all the arm talent in the world. Maybe a one-year wonder. Definitely talented, good quarterback. I think he's the third quarterback in the class, not the second. But I think he's going to be the pick here for the Jets. And the biggest fear is I think it's about the worst landing spot he could possibly have, to be honest.
To be honest with you, though,
it's the worst.
Solid. He did bring good offensive coordinator on the floor. I mean, Wilson does fit this better than any other quarterback available, in my opinion. So, I mean, to the Jets, a dysfunctional organization, I'm not really sure how it's going to pan out. It's my one concern about Zach Wilson. This is a landing spot. But being paired up with a good West Coast offense system right here for Wilson, I think he'll benefit from it, and I think he'll still be good on the Jets, in my opinion.
I hope so. I mean, I'm a LaFleur lover, obviously, you know. I don't know why I like Matt LaFleur's brother so much, but, you know, it just happens. When you have a coach, you end up liking his brother, I guess. I don't know.
There you go.
And so I definitely hope so. And I like Zach Wilson. I've kind of felt like I'm a little bit of a Zach Wilson hater at this point, but it's more if I'm a guy that likes Justin Fields a lot. I've had to fight against some of the stupidity out there, and I apologize already because I do not remember – what was your player comp for him?
Comp for him was actually Patrick Mahomes for Zach Wilson.
Oh, no. That's what I was just going to say. I had to fight against Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes comps all draft.
I'm not saying Zach Wilson's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I say he plays similar to Patrick Mahomes, which he really does.
Yeah,
think about does. It. He makes like
– he's more similar to Drew Locke maybe, but
– yeah, one of those. I would definitely – wow. But I think good improv with a strong arm. Questionable decision-making for sure. But I think Zach Wilson can and will have a great NFL career. And that's hard for me to say because he's going to be a Jet, and I really want to hate him now. But you know what? It's whatever.
All right, you're back up. The San Francisco 49ers.
So when I saw this trade happen, 3 first-round picks for a quarterback 3. But what's crazy is this quarterback 3 could easily be a QB1 in any of the past drafts, which is just crazy to me. But I'm really conflicted on this pick. I rule out Mac Jones because, I mean, what trade of 3 first-round picks for Mac Jones, I just don't see it happening. So for me, it came down to Trey Lance and Justin Fields. I think Trey Lance is a better fit. But I really feel it's going to be Justin Fields because he could really do anything in Shanahan's offense, and he could just do so much, and you know, they can mix things up. So I went Justin Fields, and I've seen Shanahan Fields the combine together, like smiling and laughing. So that's my pick, Justin Fields to the 49ers.
Yeah, that's kind of, that would have been what I would say would have predicted happen too. I think probably our biggest fight that we could potentially have is Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Right. It seems like that's from just a few conversations. That's where you and I personally differ on the most. I love Justin Fields. I think he's a big time quarterback. I think I think one of the big problems with him is just that he's been a big time quarterback too long. And, you know, I think people kind of always wanted that guy to fight Trevor Lawrence. And I think it was always just a reasonable expectation that it would end up being Justin Fields, and he never really reached that level. But
to Justin Fields too, like yeah. Being trying to be compared. I mean, there's so much to live up to as well.
Well, and I heard this today, and I had never really even thought about this. All through of these top 5 quarterbacks that we talk about, there's only 2 quarterbacks with multi years of great production. And a Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And Justin Fields has 3 of them. All right. 3 of those other guys are one-year wonders. And that's not meaning that they can't be good. That's not, you know, like I said, I'm not a Zach Wilson hater at all. But I've kind of turned into a hater just because I've liked Justin Fields so much. But, I think people have kind of just gotten tired of him. I mean, he's played at big programs. He's played in tons of big games. That's why I personally think the fit with New York would be so much better, is you're going a BYU kid that, no offense to Zach Wilson, but wasn't even sure that he was going to be the starter going into this BYU season, who played arguably one of the easiest records of, I mean, definitely the easiest records of any of these top quarterbacks besides Lance, obviously. And he's going now to big New York City, or you have Justin Fields, who's been a prodigy since he was in high school, went to Ohio State, has always had this pressure on him. He's played in so many big games. You know, I think from that now, Zach Wilson definitely is a guy that has confidence to thrive in that New York City, but you know, Justin Fields has proven it. As close as you possibly can, I think. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think Justin Fields is going to be awesome in this Kyle Shanahan offense.
Mentally, I do agree with you. Justin Fields, he's been under the bright lights all his life throughout high school. And Zach Wilson, I mean, we've seen it. Sam Darnold came. I mean, USC isn't small like BYU. But what if Baker Mayfield went to New York Jets? I mean, he had the swagger to do it. Justin Fields, I believe he has a swagger to live up to New York. But, I feel like Zach Wilson is a better player than Justin Fields, but that's my personal opinion. But any quarterback that ends up with the 49ers, I feel like they literally could be the best quarterback. Like, best resume wise and best accolade wise? Because I mean, you're being set up to be a very good quarterback when you're going into the 49ers. So that's just me.
Yeah, definitely. You're going with a team that talent wise could be a Super Bowl contender, and you either have that or you have the Jets and the Jaguars. Like, it's just not a question. It's not a question at all in my mind. I definitely agree with you. All right. Now, this is – wait, is my pick, right?
Yep, you're the Atlanta Falcons.
I stopped for a second. I was stealing yours. This is, to me, where the draft really gets interesting, where the Falcons trade down in real life. I don't know. Where the Falcons move on from Matt Ryan, I don't know. I personally think the most realistic outcome is that they trade down and someone trades up for Lance. But we're not doing trades here. So I am going to go – with Kyle Pitts, because if the Falcons do stay at 4 in that scenario, I think that they're telling the world that they think that they're a competing team. And if they think that they're a competing team, they're going to go out and try and maximize this Matt Ryan window. And with Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Matt Ryan, this offense could once again be one of those most explosive offenses in the NFL season. Kyle Pitts probably definitely has an argument to be the best overall player out in this draft. Absolutely fantastic. And I think you would fit that Falcons offense like a glove.
I definitely agree with you there. And I have been mocking quarterback through this whole season because I've been looking at the future. But, I mean, you got Arthur Smith. I don't think Arthur Smith is here to make a rebuilding team. I mean, Matt Ryan, he only has a few years left in him. Why not surround him with weapons? And you're an offensive mind already. So, and no other better player to put that offense in than Kyle Pitts. I mean, Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, that's just insane to think about. So, yeah, I definitely like the pick. And that's what I think is going to happen as well. But, yeah. So, moving on to my pick, Cincinnati Bengals. I truly believe they should. It's between Chase and Penei, but in my opinion, they should go Penei. But I just don't see it happening. I see Joe Burrow just peer pressuring the Bengals front office to draft his boy, and I really do think it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. Unfortunately, even though Ja'Marr Chase has great potential to be wide receiver one. In my opinion, the best wide receiver in this class, but I really think they should go protection here, and I think he's going to regret it in the long term run. But, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is a great player, but I'm just saying I would go Penei Sewell right here, this pick. But, yeah, my pick is Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I to the point, I think those are who it's between, and I think it should be Penei Sewell, but I think they're going to take Ja'Marr Chase, and I think it's going to be a mistake. And I think at that point you start to have to worry, you know, and it's early, I get it, but is Joe Burrow going to end up following this path of, you know, Sam Darnold, Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck? I guess it's kind of unfair to put Sam Darnold on those guys' level, but as those quarterbacks that just don't have any production and struggle throughout their entire career. I mean, we've seen it with Russell Wilson too. And so I kind of worry about that with the Bengals. I think they should definitely upgrade that offensive line and help out their rookie quarterback or their young quarterback. But
and it's not like the wide receivers they have now are even bad. I mean, Higgins and Tyler Boyd, I mean, they're not number one wide receivers, but they're really good wide receivers. I mean, they're two really good wide receivers where you don't say, oh my God, we need a wide receiver one really bad. No. I mean, Riley Reiff isn't going to save you at all. I mean, I'd rather have Penei Sewell and add him in and protect Joe Burrow and keep the other two. But if they think Ja'Marr Chase is going to help and keep Joe Burrow happy, then I guess you go Ja'Marr Chase. But I, in my opinion, I just disagree with the pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, Dolphins, I think if you're the Dolphins here, you might be looking to trade down because you lost. I think the Dolphins' number one target would be Kyle Pitts, and he's gone. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase and he's gone. I don't know how they would feel about that. And so I think right now you're looking at Penei Sewell, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. And I think maybe they're looking to trade down, but again, we're not doing trades. So I got them getting Jalen Waddle. They have Preston Smith and Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki, three big bodied. I know Devontae Parker's not quite as big body, but he kind of plays that possession role. Three bigger bodies guys. What they're missing in this offense is an absolute ceiling breaker, speedster weapon. That's what I think they're missing with Tua. I think Jalen Waddle would help Tua a ton. I think he would be able to be one of those gadget guys that we see a lot, be one of those reliable underneath targets. But then just the threat to run by everybody is insane. And so I think he would bring another element to that offense that's not there and help out their young guy.
Yeah, either Jalen Waddle. I would have gone one of the Bama wide receivers for Tua. I mean, you got to give Tua something over here. I mean, you got to see if he's the right guy or not. And, yeah, I do like the pick. Either Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. I don't think you could go wrong with either. So, yeah, I do like the pick. So, Detroit's on the clock. I mean, I've been conflicted with this pick right here. I've seen reports that they'd go – if the right quarterback falls, that's who they would go with. I don't think it's Trey Lance from Detroit. It just doesn't make sense to me. I put him in that position. I mean, yes, he'll be behind Jared Goff for a little bit, but why do that? I think they're going to go defense here. I think that's more a need they're going to address. They did bring in Aaron Glenn, the Saints defensive back head coach. I think I'll bring him, do him a favor a little bit. a little bit more than Anthony Lynn. So I think they're going to go with Michael Parsons here. Maybe it's a reach, you could say. But I think Michael Parsons, they finally get a good linebacker that they could actually develop. Michael Parsons has great potential, by the way. He's athletic as hell. Excuse me there, but he's so athletic. He could he just needs the instincts and a good linebacker head coach to just be a phenomenal linebacker, which he does have the potential to be. So I personally see him going defense and drafting Michael Parsons.
Yeah, little surprise. That's probably the biggest surprise. Yeah, for me, I do agree with what you say about Lance, where they won't. I just don't like to fit in that offense, and that team going forward. Micah Parsons on the field, which is all, you know, we don't know anything about these potential off the field character issues, and so we can't really judge that, and it wouldn't be fair for us to make an assumption without knowing anything. And so on the field, an amazing linebacker, a pure athlete. Didn't surprise me in the fact that he's not good enough. Just kind of caught me off guard with the direction there.
I was considering offensive linemen, but they already have an established left tackle in Taylor Decker. And I guess they paid Halabuti Vaitai Big V last year $50 million. I mean,
yeah,
might as well play him. I guess we're going to pay him that much. So I think there's going to be one more year. But you know what? That's Detroit for you. So
yeah. And I just wonder if maybe they would have, you know, Jared Goff struggles under pressure. The splits with him under pressure are not so different. So I wonder if maybe the value would be too much to pass up. And now that puts the Panthers in a tough situation. Because here you are in a good tough situation. Here you are. Are you sold on Sam Darnold as the future? Are you sold on him in the future so much that you're going to pay Trey Lance or get pass on Trey Lance? Are you going to take that upside? Are you going to go get Penei Sewell and get probably the biggest need on your team field and just double down with Sam Darnold? I think in this situation, if I was the Panthers, I'd go Penei Sewell. But when you look at the little bit they've given up for Darnold, I don't think that they're so invested in Darnold that it would keep them from getting Trey Lance. And if Trey Lance really did fall all the way to them, I just don't think that they could see that name and not take that potential. They can give Sam Darnold his fair chance. They can give Teddy Bridgewater a chance again and give Lance some time. It's a good culture. It's a good, seemingly good situation for Lance to be able to develop in. And I just don't think that they'd be able to pass on him. And so maybe a bit of a surprise, but I think Trey Lance at 8.
I don't know how I feel about the pick. I think it's I wouldn't like it if it were to happen. I mean, let's not pretend a second round pick isn't high value. A second round pick is would get you a very good starter in this league. It's no first round pick, obviously, but I mean, you did invest something on Sam Darnold. I think you got to see if he's the right guy, and if he is the right guy, what if he does play well, and you surround him with Penei Sewell or something like that, and he does play well, then what's the point in drafting Trey Lance, in my opinion?
And I agree. I don't think it would be a good pick. I just don't, you know, I mean, when you look at what the Dolphins did with Josh Rosen, they gave up a current second round pick and then turned around and drafted Tua, I think, a year later, you know. And so you have Sam Darnold, who he has a contract, his contract's up this year, and they gave up a future second for him. And, you know, worst case scenario, here you are with three starting quarterbacks on your team, and someone's going to end up paying for one of them, you know. And so I don't think that they should do that, but I do think that they're just gonna. I don't think that they would pass up on that type of potential,
right?
And Sam Darnold doesn't have that type of potential. Like he's a, you know, even the people that love Sam Darnold and still will believers can't say that he has Trey Lance type potential.
Right, Trey Lance has a way higher ceiling than Sam Darnold for sure. But just looking at the pick, if they were to draft Trey Lance right here, what would be the point of that trading for Sam Darnold? They would trade a second round pick for a bridge quarterback. I mean, maybe they could turn Sam Darnold to a first. Maybe that's what they may go for if they were to make this pick. But I personally, I don't see it, and I would hate this pick if it were to happen.
I definitely would too.
So moving on to the Denver Broncos, this is interesting because I would have had Trey Lance right here. I think they should give Drew Lock one more shot. But even then, I think Vic Fangio is going to want to just build his defense up. So, I mean, they did get good cornerbacks. I would go corner here, but they just signed Kyle Fuller. They still got Bryce Callahan. They got the Bears secondary up there already. And, I mean, it is a solid secondary. So, I think I'm going to go linebacker here. And I think I'm going to go Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Get a linebacker, pair him up in the linebacker spot right there. And I think he's a good fit there, too. And Koramoah is a really good player who I think Vic Fangio would love to coach up. So I'm going to go Jock for this pick for the Broncos.
Wow. So here we are with the Dallas Cowboys, who I thought were a lock. Probably one of my more confident picks is that a Patrick Surtain is on the board for the Cowboys, that they will take him.
Right.
However, there is no way they're going into this draft with the expectation that Penei Sewell is on the board. And we've seen this line kind of slowly deteriorate over the couple years. You know, I know they have a left tackle, but Penei Sewell can move to right tackle. Penei Sewell can move to guard. It doesn't matter. He's that good of a player. He's available at this part. My expectation is he's probably going to move to right tackle. And then when Tyron Smith ends up leaving this team, he'll probably slide over to the left tackle at that point. It's a lock. Cowboys, the slide is over. Penei Sewell at 10.
And I love this pick. If Penei Sewell is there, you get Penei Sewell. Because we don't know about Tyron Smith and his health lately. I mean, if Penei Sewell is there, I think you have to go Sewell here. Even though defense is a bigger need, I'd go Sewell here. And I do love the pick. So moving on to for the New York Giants. I mean, they just got Kenny Galladay. They have three solid wide receivers. So my next pick for the New York Giants, I'm pretty confident. I've seen a lot of reports going to go DN here. I think it'll go Azeez Ojulari here, a Georgia defensive end. Recent drafts have shown that Dave Gettleman does love his Georgia players, and DeAndre Baker and Andrew Thomas, and they want a DN. I think Azeez Ojulari can line up anywhere on that defense, and he'll be a good impact player. And I like Azeez Ojulari. I think he'd be great for the New York Giants. So that's my pick.
Yeah, definitely loves his Georgia players. I can definitely see this happening. I probably don't love the value of it, but I mean, what do you expect as the Giants? Since when do they care about value? Get their guy. And so I think it's a great prediction pick, and I think it's a great brand pick. And I'll tell you who's pumped up about this situation. The Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles have been trying to get their wide receiver for 3 years. And they have failed. And they have failed. And they have failed. And, you know, the door's not closed on Jalen Reagor yet. I get that. But it doesn't – Jalen Reagor can be a much better player. Anything that we've seen on film, it's a fail because they passed up on Jefferson. And I just don't see Reagor reaching that type of potential. And so here they are with a Heisman-winning wide receiver, Devontae Smith, here at number 12. And they take him as fast as they possibly can. And they just sit back and relax. Devontae Smith is – if Devontae Smith was 180 pounds – or not 180, probably 190 pounds – I think he'd be the blow-away number one receiver in this class.
Right.
The problem is, as we've talked about on this podcast before, he's going to enter the NFL as the lightest pound-for-inch player in the NFL. And, we have his own teammate, Jalen Waddle, is 3 inches shorter than him and has 10 pounds on him. And then Devontae Smith has plenty of speed and agility. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he doesn't have that Devontae or that Jalen Waddle. You know, he's not a game breaker. He's a guy that can do it and has sufficient in that area, but it's not like he can rely on that. But every part of his game is amazing. He is one of the best route runners I've ever seen, has amazing hands, goes up and gets, for as small as he is, goes up and gets passes like nobody's business. It's insane.
Right.
Can beat people down the field. The Eagles have to be pumped up. They're getting a guy great, perfect compliment to Jalen Reagor, and you know, hopefully add something to that offense that they're trying to rebuild down there in Philly.
And if any of those three wide receivers were right there for Philly, they have to go with one of them without a doubt. I mean, you really gave up on your franchise quarterback because you failed to build around him, so you really can't let that happen again. So if Devontae Smith is there, you go Devontae Smith for the Eagles. So for the next pick for the Los Angeles Chargers, I'm going to go Rashawn Slater here. You got to protect Justin Herbert. Get Brian Bulaga, Rashawn Slater at the left tackle, or you put him at guard if you'd like. Either way, that's a significant upgrade, and I'd go Rashawn Slater right here for the Chargers.
I think that's the right pick for them. As a Oregon fan, I would love that pick for them. However, I do have some concerns in real life. I've heard that they're really into a prototypical, making sure they get that left tackle. And so there is some concern for me as the guy that is rooting for this team with Justin Herbert to succeed. I kind of wonder if they would end up taking Christian Darrisaw just because he's a pure left tackle, which I think would be a huge mistake. Rashawn Slater is one of those guys you just can't pass on in this point in the draft.
Right.
You know, if he plays a guard, who cares? Like you have an all-pro guard. Congratulations. You can't play tackle, but he's an all-pro guard. Who cares? And so now we have the Minnesota Vikings. And Colton's happiness rests in my hands. And I am going to take a kicker. No. I hope Colton Smart listens pick. To this and hears that. To me, this is an easy pick. You know, you have some edge problems there in Minnesota. You are losing. You have lost Everson Griffin last year. Yannick Ngakoue did not work out. And now it sounds like Daniel Hunter wants out. And while he's not an edge, Anthony Bark wants out in a year, too. So it seems like they really need an edge. The only question is it Jalen Phillips or Kwity Paye? And I think they'll take the for sure thing in Kwity Paye over Jalen Phillips. I don't know. I think Kwity Paye just has a little more meat on him, is a little bit more built to play in that 4-3 than Jalen Phillips is. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see if they took Jalen Phillips, though.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips has a higher ceiling, in my opinion, but definitely. It's the injuries and the concussion that's the problem. So why not go with the safe pick at Kwity Paye? And it's really sad to see this Vikings defense just regress each year. I mean, their secondary is getting worse, too. Jeff Gladney just got arrested recently, so there's a waste of a pick right there. So I do like the Kwity Paye pick, and I personally believe that's going to be the pick come draft day. So my next pick, the New England Patriots. I mean, people may say it's Mac Jones, but I really don't think Bill Belichick sees anything in Mac Jones. I think he's going to roll with Cam, see what happens from there. If he needs to make a trade, he will. But I think he's still going to surround Cam and draft Rashard Bateman here. Rashard Bateman could get the run after catch. I mean, are we going to act like Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne are wide receiver ones? I mean, I'm not going to say Rashard Bateman is going to be a great wide receiver one. I'm just going to say he just fits the Patriots offense really well. And I think he could be a really good run after catch guy for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, great pick. A little bit reminds me of a little bit of a toned down version of Devontae Smith. He has some of the same questions about being, you know, his weight's a little low, not quite like Devontae Smith, but he's just an all around great receiver, a little bit more of a deep threat, I think. And definitely not the route. While he's a great route runner, he's not Devontae Smith. While he has great hands, he doesn't have Devontae Smith hands. And so I like Rashad Bateman a lot, and I think he'd be a great fit for that New England Patriots offense. Now, here we go. The Arizona Cardinals. This has been a popular pick for the first running back taken off the board up until a couple of days ago when they signed James Conner. And, you know, the slide ends. Is it going to be Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn?
There you go.
I think Patrick Surtain's a little bit of a better fit in the defense. I'm not a big fan of either of the two guys, but I do think he's a better fit in that defense. More a higher floor for sure, in my opinion, and a guy that's going to come in and provide something in that secondary. And they've drafted a couple guys there the last few years, and Byron Murphy, and tried to get that figured out. And so I think they're going to take a more for sure thing rather than going for a more athletic guy in Newsome or J.C. Horn.
All right. And I do like the pick, too. I mean, even though Caleb Farley is my cornerback one, I know he is for you too. I mean, why go him? If could he again, he's also a big risk too for injuries. So, I mean, I do like the pick getting Patrick Surtain, getting the for sure thing. And I do like the pick there for Arizona. So, my next pick is for Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, they basically traded their whole old line. But I'm not going to go online. I think I've heard reports that they like their new right tackle. I forgot his name, but there's that. They did invest money in the defense and getting Yannick Ngakoue. I've heard a lot of reports are going to go secondary here. So it's either corner or safety, in my opinion. But I think they're going to invest in their cornerbacks they have right now and just give them a year, just give them more time to develop and maybe get guys later on. So I think I'm going to go safety here. And I think I'm going to give them Trevon Merrig with this pick over here. A good safety, a good zone coverage safety that they've been needing. Because Jonathan Abram, he's really not that guy. And we've seen him like miss areas of his coverage. So I think Trevon Merrig is a guy the Raiders need and the guy that the Raiders would love to have.
Yep. And you know, just a little quick history lesson for people. I used to run the Draft Guru until Zach took over this season. And if I look to a guy that I missed on because I have not ran the page, it's Trevon Merrick. I had not heard when we did our defensive backs thing, I had not heard of him. I had not watched him. I had heard of him, but I knew that he played at TCU. That was it. I hadn't watched him. After hearing Colton and Thomas have him in their big board, I went back and watched him, and I severely missed on this guy. This guy's awesome. He's by far the best safety in the class, mm-hmm. one of the best DBs in the class. What you're looking for in a safety nowadays that can just kind of do it all. You know, he's the guy that you, if you want, he can be that kind of – he's not going to be – he can't live here all the time. But he can be that nickel safety for you. He can be that linebacker safety for you. He kind of reminds me of a little bit of Darnell Savage for the Packers. Probably not – I don't think he's quite as athletic as Savage, but just the guy that can play – you know, you want him to rush your passer off the edge, he'll do it. You want him to help you out in the run game, he'll do it. You want him to cover over the top, he'll do it. He's probably not, like I said, not quite as rangy, but he can just do it all, and he would be a staple back there for that Oakland Raiders – secondary, and he would allow them to be able to use Jonathan Abram to in what
be more
he
of a hybrid,
better.
Yeah, right.
All right, so here we are, Miami Dolphins again. If this was what I would do, I would definitely be looking at Jalen Phillips, but it's not what I would do, and I don't know. I don't know which of these two guys they would go for. I think if they do not get, Pitts, I think they're going to take a luxury pick in the first draft. Either they're going to take a tight end that they, you know, is a little bit of a position that they don't really need, but like not the most valuable position, or they're going to go take a running back who has some questionable of how valuable they are. I don't know if it's going to be Harris or ETN. I think it's going to be ETN just based on who they have in the building. They like Miles Gaskin. They like Salvin Ahmed, and they have two of those small little guys. I think they're going to go with the speedy guy. But the one thing you know about them is that they're going to try and get a three down guy and just use him as a workhorse. So I would not close the door to Najee Harris, but for this mock, I will go the speedster in Travis Etienne. Another guy, in my opinion, that I think is kind of undervalued because people have watched him so much. People forget he's super elusive. He's super explosive. He has one cut ability. He's one of the better pass catchers in the draft. He doesn't have quite the power or the size. But what I get confused about is everyone wonders about the power of the size, but yet he's been a workhorse at Clemson his entire career. So I'm not saying – I think he could definitely handle the workload. And, you know, I think, again, we're really setting Tua up here to have no excuses and have a really good offense.
And I like how you mentioned the speed backs they have right now. I mean, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, I mean, the one thing that separates them is Etienne's second-level speed. I mean, his speed is off the charts, in my opinion. And I think that's a great fit for Miami. And I've been going to Jalen Phillips with this pick, but recently I've been hearing that they will go luxury here. So I do agree with Etienne right there. Yeah, I do like it as well. So my next pick is the Washington football team. They recently did sign Fitzmagic. So I think it's going to be O-tackle or a quarterback here, but I'm going to go quarterback here. I think if Mac Jones is there, I think they're going to value him. I think this is actually a good range for Mac Jones, in my opinion. Late for kind of like getting approaching the late first, but I think Mac Jones sitting behind Fitzmagic, and I think they value Fitzmagic being a good mentor for him. So Mac Jones is sitting 1 year under Fitzmagic, learning and coming in next year. I think that's a good fit for Mac Jones. I think that's what they will do and get a quarterback. And I have Mac Jones here for the football team.
Yeah, I agree. I think the guy that they're probably targeting pre-draft would be like a guy like Christian Darrisaw, maybe Sam Cosmi. But with the way the draft fell, they're definitely taking Mac Jones. They're not. I don't think they'd pass up on something like that.
Right.
Because remember, they really don't have a quarterback of the future, too. I don't understand why they're not talked about more in the quarterback discussion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because they're so late down the board. But Dwayne Haskins is not there anymore, right? Alex Smith is gone. Taylor Heinicke is all they're putting all their eggs in the Taylor Heinicke basket. And I love him, but I don't think that's going to remain that way. They will take a quarterback in this draft if they can, I think.
Right. And again, Fitzmagic is only locked up for 1 year, and he is 37, 38, one of those. So I think Mac Jones should be the pick as well. So
yeah. So if you're the Bears, you're sitting there watching the football team, and you're saying, we're either going Mac Jones or we're going Christian Darrisaw. And they didn't take Mac Jones, so we're going to go take Christian Darrisaw. I think that their offensive lineman is rough. I don't think they have talent at the offensive tackle positions. And, you know, last year, in the past few years, really, they've really been beat up by that Green Bay Packer pass rush in every game that we've played against them. You know, the Vikings maybe took a year off from having an elite pass rush, but they're going to have Danielle Hunter back. And now, you know, they've already added Quiddy Pay in this draft. I think that they are going to try to protect whoever ends up being back there at quarterback long term.
And right, I do agree with that pick. I think if no quarterback is there, the Bears goal line, I mean, their offensive line hasn't been rough these couple of years, and I think there still would be great. I mean, you got to protect your quarterback in the future and your franchise quarterback in Andy Dalton.
I mean, yeah, that just, definitely.
It's gotta be,
we know he's not going to move around and buy time. So,
right. So, I mean, yeah. So, I think Darrisaw is going to be the pick as well. Best offensive line available, Christian Darrisaw to Chicago. I agree with that pick. So, next up is the Colts. They did lose Anthony Costanzo. I would like them to go left tackle. But, I mean, J.C. Horn, Caleb Farley, these guys, these cornerbacks are just too good to pass up. I think they're going to go J.C. Horn here and go with the safe pick and establish a secondary for cornerbacks. And I think J.C. Horn's, again, too good to pass up, and I think the Colts go J.C. Horn with this pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're also watching the situation. I think if Darrisaw fell to them, they'd maybe go Darrisaw, but they're not reaching on Tevin Jenkins when you got J.C. Horn
right. Available. And the offensive lineman happening. Available. I mean, it's just going to be a big reach.
Yeah. So. And so now you're at Tennessee Titans, and we're going double corners. You know, we lost Adoree Jackson. Now we're going to add Caleb Farley.
I love that.
The best corner in the draft, but the one with the most questions. We don't know what's going to go on with the injury, but we know that his ceiling is sky high. His talent right now is sky high. And, you know, one of my favorite players in the draft.
I love Caleb Farley. He's my cornerback one as well. And he's very physical, good speed. You can keep up with these fast guys. And I if it wasn't for the injury, I think Caleb Farley would be the unanimous number one wide receiver cornerback in this draft. So my next pick right here is the New York Jets. I mean, they just went Zach Wilson. I mean, you might as well build around him. But, I mean, I don't think there's any picks here you should, besides running back maybe. But I don't think – why get Najee Harris when there's really no O-line there? So – despite that, I'm just going to go with defense here. They got Robert Saul. I think he's going to want to establish his defense and build that up like he did with San Francisco. And I think they're going to draft a cornerback because, I mean, their cornerbacks are not looking good at all. I mean, who do they have right now? Just Bryce Hall. I mean, that's not going to work out well. with just Bryce Hall over there in New York. So over here, I'm going to go with Greg Newsome out of Northwestern. I know you love Greg Newsome. I do like him too. He's very physical, and I do like Greg Newsome from New York Jets here, and that's my pick.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big Newsome fan. I think the Jets have to be crying a little bit in this scenario. I mean, 3 picks ago, you got Christian Darrisaw, you got
Farley and Horn,
all going, and you're just saying to yourself, you're going to get one of these three guys. You have to be hyped. You're celebrating the fact that you could potentially get Caleb Farley at this point. You could leave this draft with Zach Wilson and Caleb Farley, and now you end up, you know, I don't want to say taking a reach because Greg Newsome is worth it,
right?
But there's definitely there's definitely a tier gap.
Yeah, there's
guys.
Definitely a significant drop-off from Caleb Farley or J.C. Nehorn to Greg Newsome, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah, and now you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think absolutely need a corner. But there has been three taken in the last 3 picks. You can't take a corner. You cannot do it. And so, you know, if it was me, I'm probably going Tevin Jenkins. I might be going Jalen Phillips. But we've heard reports that they are interested in adding a running back. I don't get it. This is one of my
right.
least favorite picks in this draft that I'm about to make. This and probably the Panthers pick. But this is just what I think is going to happen. In this scenario, I think they would go with Najee Harris. He's that type of Pittsburgh Steeler running back. He's physical. He's big. He's athletic to be an every down guy. I mean, really, they're hoping that he's their next Le'Veon Bell. He's a pass catcher. You know, we're going to see what happens, but I think that's who they would take at this point in the draft.
I agree with you. I think they're going to go Najee Harris here too. A guy who could, I guess, quote unquote, take pressure off Big Ben, but I really think they should go offensive lineman here. I mean, if you have Elijah Vera Tucker over here, I mean, he helps you both running and passing game. And you know Big Ben's going to pass a lot this season with the guys he has at wide receiver. But I personally think it's going to be Najee Harris too, which I think Najee Harris is the best running back in this class, in my opinion. But, I mean, I just don't see the fit here. And I think he'd be put in a bad situation. That's just my opinion there, though.
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
So my next pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They obviously just got Trevor Lawrence. The wide receivers are pretty solid, in my opinion, with DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault. And, I mean, you might as well go offensive lineman here. I mean, Cam Robinson's a good question mark. Juwan Taylor hasn't been the guy we've all thought he was going to be. But you also go cornerback, get the other cornerback aside from you don't. You have Shaquille Griffin and CJ Henderson. So, I mean, I'm going to go best player available here, and you go Jalen Phillips and take that risk. You can pair him up, get Saxonville back, pair him up with Josh Allen on the other side, Jalen Phillips, and move Kalavon Johnson back to, like, maybe one of the outside linebacker spots. And you get Jalen Phillips here, take that risk. And if he does work out, it's going to be a great pick for Jacksonville and a steal. So I'm just going to go best player available and get Jalen Phillips.
Yeah. I would not like this scenario for them, but I think it's a great predictive pick. To me, I don't understand why we don't see these teams that have multiple first-round picks take a quarterback and then go get the offensive lineman, if right. it's available. I know sometimes it's not available. But it always seems that they'll take a quarterback and then go defense. And I get that that might be the best answer for the team. But we're not talking about the team. Zach Wilson, we want him to be in this Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson was a few picks ago when the Jets did the same thing. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, you hope to be in these jerseys for 18 years, 18 plus years. That's the dream. So stop worrying about the team now and get the guys that will help them progress. And giving them an elite offensive line is everything for them. Like, if you have a quarterback that can sit back and play football and learn the game instead of developing bad habits and trying to play hero ball, that's huge for a quarterback. And so I wish they would go Elijah Vera Tucker. I wish they'd go maybe Tevin Jenkins, but I think you're right that they would end up taking Jalen Phillips in this draft, which, if you're talking about a team that you're trying to win next year, probably the right pick. But I don't care about winning. I care about, as much as it sounds backwards, I care about making sure Trevor Lawrence succeeds. Because if Trevor Lawrence succeeds, it's going to do a lot more for winning in the long term than getting Jalen Phillips is going to do right now.
And I agree with you there. I mean, I've seen a lot of reports saying Saxonville, they're trying to get Saxonville back, and I think Jalen Phillips is the guy, if he's there, to get them back. But again, you want to invest in Trevor Lawrence. I mean, yes, winning is very successful, and I think you should build for the future. Because if you build for the future, think about it, you also produce more wins. Easy logic there, right? But some NFL teams, I guess, just don't – I mean, maybe they understand more stuff than I do, maybe. But I just think they're just going to go Jalen Phillips here, so.
Yeah, I can see it for sure. The Browns are obviously pissed off right now. They just thought they were on their way to getting Jalen Phillips, and now there's no one like that on the board for them. And this is a team I don't think has a ton of needs. I don't really know where to go with this pick. I don't know. You know, I haven't been as connected and watching things as much as I usually would be, and so I really don't have a good feel of what this team is going to do. But at this situation, you know, I think you wanting to help that defense take that step from being one of the really good defenses to being one of the really best defenses, you know. And so I think it's going down to three guys or two guys mainly. Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa, or Christian Barmore, interior defensive line out of Bama. Let me know. I need help on this.
So just stepping a little bit, I've had this a lot in my mock drafts, like the ones I don't post, sometimes I do. But the one I think is going to be Christian Barmore. I mean, they just cut Sheldon Richardson, save a lot of money. So that inside the defensive lineman spot is available right there. And who other better than Christian Barmore, the best interior defensive lineman to fall to them? I mean, which isn't really saying much, but still. I think Christian Barmore would be the pick if I were to make the pick, and I think that is the pick for me. But, again, it's definitely between a linebacker or a Christian Barmore, in my opinion.
Yeah, all right, I'm locking it in. Christian Barmore, you know, helps out their defensive line, helps them stop the run better, opens up some more holes for Myles Garrett, and, you know, we're just going to see what happens. You know, I'm not the biggest Barmore fan. He is not my interior defensive lineman one. Which doesn't mean anything, like you said. Like, it's not – no one's all that impressive, I don't think. But we'll see what happens here in Cleveland.
Right. And Barmore is definitely a good run stopper. I mean, maybe that's what they're trying definitely. To go, because they just brought in Clowney. So, I mean, it could work out long term again. But still, I think this is probably the best pick they can make. That's just my opinion there. So, next up is the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, these Ed Rutgers, I mean, they're fine, but I don't see the fit here with Baltimore. I mean, if they were to go Greg Rousseau here, for example, I just don't see the fit at all. He's more of a 4-3 defensive end, and if you put him in 3-4, him standing up, I think that'd just be awful for Baltimore. So instead, I'm going to go offense here. I'm going to give him Terrence Marshall Jr., a guy who could jump ball, who catch the jump ball, and big target for Lamar Jackson. That's what Lamar Jackson needs instead of these speed guys like Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins. Why not give him more weapons than Terrence Marshall? You've been lacking wide receivers. Just actually build around Lamar Jackson and give him more targets. So I'd go Terrence Marshall Jr. here.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think he kind of completes the receiver core. You have Sammy Watkins, who's the absolute, you know, field stretcher, along with Miles Boykin. I almost forgot his name. And then you have Marquise Brown, who's obviously a speedster, but can kind of do it all. Maybe your screen guy as well. And now you have the middle of the field guy. And that's what I like about Terrence Marshall is we know Lamar Jackson's best when he's throwing on in-breaking routes. And it's going to happen here with Terrence Marshall Jr. And, you know, he's one of my favorite kind of, I guess, my guys in a sense. In this draft, and I think he's excellent, and I think he's an excellent – it's an excellent fit here in Baltimore. All right, the New Orleans Saints. No idea what to do with this football team either.
Right. They're just
– you know, who knows what they're doing? I mean, are they trying to build for the future? It doesn't seem like it. It seems like they want to try and do everything they can to win this season and push all their money to the future, and I don't think they're that good of a football team to do that. And so I'm going to just kind of go, and I don't know what to do with this team. I really don't. I don't think we can go best player available because I just don't think they need an offensive lineman. And I think my best two guys available at this point is Elijah Vera-Tucker and Tevin Jenkins. And I just don't think they need the offensive lineman. And so I'm going to go with a bit of a luxury pick here. You know, they tried to take what's that edge they tried to take? Marcus Davenport a couple years ago. I'm going to go. Oh, no, I'm not going to go. I'm calling it in. Gregory Rousseau. The scary part about this, this prediction-wise, is I don't know that Gregory Rousseau, like, is that just getting Marcus Davenport again? The big freak athletic guy. And so would they go take another guy just like Marcus Davenport after Davenport didn't really work out? I don't know. To me, on my board, it's a huge reach. But I think that they might take that swing for the fences. And you know, when you look at the board, I think he's one of those guys that could make that huge difference if he hits. And so I don't know that I would do it, but I could see them do it.
And that's the question. I don't know if they would do it. That's my problem. I don't think they want another Marcus Davenport. And Gregory Rousseau, he could definitely be another Marcus Davenport. I mean,
yeah,
he has to be in a great system and have a good defensive line coach to not end up like that. And, yeah, so maybe just replace Trey Hendrickson there. I think Greg Rousseau, it's probably – we'll see. But really, I can see the Saints go anything. I can't even see him go Trask at this point, in my opinion. That's just the same with the Saints. But anyway, so the next pick is the Green Bay Packers. So this is very interesting. I got a lot of pressure here. As we know, Dave, big Packers guy here. But the question is, will they finally go wide receiver? And first off, Dave, what do you want for the Packers? Do you think they finally go wide receiver this year or what?
In this situation, I don't. Terrence Marshall Jr. is gone. Rashad Bateman's gone. You do still have Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney who could do something for you. But I think we're in that range of guys that aren't the immediate upgrades that the media thinks they are. Right. You know, last year, everyone's still killing us for taking Chase Claypool. Not taking T. Higgins. Go look at what those guys did last year. Go look at what the Packers receivers did last year and tell me that they are such upgrades over Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard that we would have won a Super Bowl. And I just don't think it's true. You know, we have a lot of guys on our team that are that third receiver. We have too many of them. We need an established, good second receiver. And in my opinion, those guys are gone. So you might as well wait and, you know, take some other guy on day two, especially when Elijah Vera-Tucker is available. I don't know, Tevin Jenkins available. You know, we lost Rick Wagner in the draft, or we lost Rick Wagner and Corey Linsley to free agency. And so I think we would definitely go replace one of those two offensive linemen.
And I was going to go offensive lineman anyways. I was going to go Tevin Jenkins here. I mean, as much as I would like to get a wide receiver here, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, that's what we've all been mocking is all these years. I'm not going to fall for this time. I'm going to go Tevin Jenkins, solidify and replace Rick Wagner, who really wasn't really that good, to be honest. But a good, powerful right tackle who's athletic, plays hard. Tevin Jenkins to Green Bay. I think that's a good pick for you guys. And I think might as well establish offensive line when Jordan Love comes in as well. So Tevin Jenkins is my pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and I love it. I think he gives you – the Packers have a lot of unknown in their offensive line room because you have Elgton Jenkins, who's played left guard for him the last 2 years. But he played center in college. He can play right guard, and he's taken many snaps at right tackle also. We have the guy from Michigan, John Runyon. John Runyon has played a little bit of guard and a little bit of tackle. So, and then we have Jake Hansen from Oregon, who played center and can definitely play either interior offensive lineman positions. So it's a lot of unknown of what's going to happen. So to get Tevin Jenkins, a guy that's played left guard, right guard, and tackle, I think is great. You have a guy that's taken a ton of pass sets, which is great. Also we have Billy Turner, who's played guard and tackle. So it kind of gives us a lot of flexibility to try out a number of things and see what is our best fit at the offensive lineman position. And so I love it. And I think he would end up playing our right tackle position and be great.
And I just hate how the media just loves to hate on the Packers wide receiver two or freaking Kevin King and want to say they need a cornerback wide receiver more than anything to get those things, which is just unfair. I mean, Kevin King, obviously, he played horrible. I'm sorry to – you know, I'm not going to mention that game. But I just hate – they criticize Marquez Valdes-Scantling like that. Because he is a really solid wide receiver, even if he is a two or not. But still, Tevin Jenkins is my pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I agree. People forget sometimes that you don't have a star at every position. You know, I don't love Kevin King. I think we need a corner. The whole reason we brought Kevin King back, though, was so that we didn't absolutely have to take a corner. Because we have a guy that can take reps at corner. If Greg Newsome or Caleb Farley fell to us, yes, we need the corner. But Eric Stokes is not the guy that we absolutely need. The one potential hole on this team that could potentially be a black hole is if none of the guys that we've taken in the last couple of years of drafting step up on the offensive line. And so to get one at this spot, I think would be huge. Now we have your team, Zach, the Buffalo Bills. an interesting team to pick for. I'm not completely in the know of what, you know, Bills fans are wanting or going for in this year. I best player available, you're probably looking at Elijah Vera Tucker or Zaven Collins maybe. But I don't really know. I don't think you guys need an interior offensive lineman or an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that you would go Elijah Vera Tucker. I think you guys would love to have a corner. I don't know. Is it a little bit too early for Eric Stokes? I don't know. You let me know. Let me know what you think about this pick.
So honestly, I think they're going to avoid offensive linemen this pick. I mean, it's my opinion. I mean, they solidified the offensive tackle position out of Deion Dawkins. They just re-signed Darrell Williams to a $30 million deal. They re-signed John Feliciano, our right guard, for $15 million. They got Mitch Morse, and they still believe in Cody Ford playing my left guard. So I don't think they're going to go offensive lineman there. Believe it or not, I think Buffalo's going to go defense, which is just crazy to say. Throughout these whole years. And, I mean, this defense has just let us down. It's just not been up to standards as it was, like, a couple of years. So, I mean, I think it seems so what Bills fans love is getting into that second cornerback spot. And I a lot of picks I've been seeing is Eric Stokes or Asante Samuel Jr., a good lanky guy and who's, you know, good for their scheme. Or a defensive or DN. But if we were to go DN, that's not really going to win now because we still have Mario Addison. Jerry Hughes, and we just got A.J. Epinesa last year. So if you get a DN, you're really just getting a guy to build for the future. So, again, I'm conflicted with this pick. So, you know what, Dave, good luck, and I'll critique it later.
Yeah.
So you go right ahead.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. Zaven Collins, I just don't like the fit. I just don't like it. I don't think that you guys are the not that this is saying anything bad about your team, but Zaven Collins has to go in the right situation. A guy – that's going to use him right. Because I don't think he's playing full-time at linebacker, and I don't think he's playing full-time at edge. He's going to have to be a defense that is going to move him around, and I don't think that's what you guys love to do. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's going to happen. Joe Tryon is my best remaining edge on the board, and he's not a fit in that 4-3 that you guys run. Not at all. Not at all. And so I am going to go Eric Stokes. A lanky corner, as you said, I think he's a great fit in that scheme. I think he's a guy that can help you guys out. You guys don't have a second corner, I don't think. I don't know who your second corner is.
You might only have
one corner on your roster.
We had Levi Wallace in the draft. Well, I did like Levi Wallace at the time, but I mean, he just hasn't worked out. And of course, you know, stud cornerback Josh Norman. But I think I think I'd be happy getting Eric Stokes to replace Josh Norman, which I'm full support. Along with this defense, I'll be happy. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I love the pick. I think, and as you're talking, I like how you brought up winning this year because I think it's kind of like the Packers. The one hold you guys have on your team is potentially that second corner position. The one thing that could just be complete garbage that holds you back – is that second corner position. So you get that covered. You know, it's not the flashiest pick. It's maybe not the highest ceiling guy, but you guys now are going into the season without any holes on this roster.
Right. I mean, yeah. So, yeah, Eric Stokes, whether he struggles or not, he can't be as worth as Josh Norman was. So, and Dave, we were so close to getting our dream matchup, Buffalo and Green Bay, man. I just can't get over that. I can't get over it. Anyways, so my next pick is the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, maybe we saw Mahomes get killed in the Super Bowl. They just cut Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. Go offensive lineman here. I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to get the best offensive lineman available, maybe best player available, and get Elijah Vera Tucker here. So you can move him anywhere. You put him at tackle, put him at guard. Either way, you're getting protection from Patrick Mahomes, which you need. And, yeah, so I think that's great for the Chiefs and get Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, great pick for them. I'm not happy about it because probably their one of their best situations that they could be looking at is sitting there with Elijah Vera Tucker on the board. I hope in the real draft that doesn't happen. I like Patrick Mahomes, but I want the Packers to win. And so I prefer for them to have a leaky offensive line this year and struggle a little more.
That's right.
So here we are, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Another kind of hard team to pick for, in my opinion, because there is not a chance this team is going to do anything that would affect their future. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the future. They are going to get the most impactful player right now. And I have not a clue who that is. I don't know. I have no clue. I've gone back and forth a lot. The pick I know I've seen a lot of people take Javonte Williams here. I mean, they have Keyshawn Vaughn, they have Gio Bernard, and they have Leonard Fournette. I think that's – and they have Ronald Jones. I don't think they had another running back. I don't think Javonte Williams is good enough. Maybe if Etienne or Najee Harris somehow fell,
right?
They'd do that. You know, I've seen a lot of wide receiver, and I don't know. You know what? I'm doing it.
I say they go wide receiver if Tom wants him to wide receiver. I think I'll see. Oh, yeah,
definitely. They would if Tom wanted it. And I'm doing it here. We have a – now it's a question of which one. So they got Mike Evans long term.
If you were to go wide receiver here, in my opinion, I think, who was in punt returns last year for them? Antonio Brown, wasn't it? Because I did see him like punt a few balls here and there. Maybe Kadarius Toney is probably my pick. That's my opinion but
definitely agree. That's where I was just about to go. They lose it. They have Mike Evans, so they still have their deep threat type of guy. The guy that they might lose is their they've already lost Antonio Brown, obviously. But the guy that they might lose next year to go along with that is Chris Godwin, who's kind of their route runner, their more twitchy guy of the two. Elijah Moore makes me think about it a bit. But especially when you also think they got Tyler Johnson. You know, they got Tyler Johnson a year ago. Man, they got Scotty Miller. I don't know. Maybe. Nope. I'm locking the thing. Kadarius Toney to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know.
I have a good feeling.
I have no idea where I feel about it. But
I have a good feeling Tampa will trade down in this scenario, though. I mean, I don't see them making the pick here.
Yeah, I would agree. I think in real life they're going to be trying to trade up and get someone more impactful. Maybe give up some future picks. I mean, this is a team that's just going all out to win now, and I mean, I don't think you can blame them.
Right.
So that wraps us up. 32 picks of exactly what would happen on Thursday if there were no trades. Unfortunately, there's going to be trades, so it's not going to happen.
That's why it's not going to be accurate.
Yeah, of course, it'd be completely accurate if there weren't trades. And I think both you and I would be happy with the outcome. You know, we're going to have you on maybe for a little draft recap here in a couple weeks. But, dude, thanks for coming. You're an absolute legend. Like I said, the draft guru, it's an absolute must follow. If you're not following them, then you must not care about the draft. Because that's just what it is. If you don't follow him, you do not care about the draft. Which, hey, I mean, I guess it's fine. I don't know how you're a real football fan if you're not following the draft and you're not ready for football. And that, so I don't know really what you're doing here. I'm glad you're here. But, you know, maybe just rethink what you're doing if you're not following the draft guru.
That's exactly right. I mean, these picks, I mean, don't come crying to me once these picks are all accurate right here. When the picks I made are all accurate right here, all right? They built this from the ground up. I'm just here to continue on the legacy. And that's what we're here doing right here, making mock drafts like these.
All righty, man. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, I think we're ready to wrap it up. If you have any, I think if you have any other information or social media information that you have besides the Draft Guru, definitely feel free to shout it out. Besides that, I think we're good to go.
Yeah, and I got nothing else. So just go Bills and happy draft day to everyone out there if I'm not back by then.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.